Lena, you're the girl of my dreams. On this episode of Nani's Tune with Avery and Lena.
Thanks. You're the guy of my nightmares.
Wow. After I said that nice thing about you, this is how you're going to react?
You've been picking on me nonstop before we recorded. So.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Anyway, why do you say this?
Because we're looking back at the Canadian hit Girl of My Dreams by the Moffats.
Yes, we are. I keep calling them the Moppets, and I know I'm going to. Sorry. We all know when I say Moppets, think Moffats. Moffats, I barely remember this band. I remember them as rip-off Hansons. Canadian Hansons, not rip-off. So it's composed of brothers Scott Moffat, born in 1983, triplets Bob and Clint, who are identical twins, and Dave, who is the fraternal triplet. I didn't know you could have identical twins within triplets and that they'd be called that, but according to Wikipedia. So, you know, totally true. They first started out like really young as a country band. So they started out as country. We'll go back. Okay. Their first record was in 1993. They were rumored to be the youngest band to be signed by a major label.
Okay.
They actually, their first recording ever was made in the West Edmonton Mall at Studio 86, it was called. They were doing a cover of Grandpa by the Judds. Don't know if you know that song.
No, I don't.
Very appropriate. Like, I could see young boys singing it, that would be good. Then they were like did things like they were the recording in 93. They were on telethons, country music festivals. They played with the Osmonds. They were on Good Morning America. And then they switched gears and made their first pop/rock album, Chapter One, A New Beginning, in 1998, which includes this song. Then they did some more. They had another band. They had another album. They disbanded. They had some solo gigs. They had a farewell tour, reunion. In 2018, they released some new songs. But after Chapter One, they just kind of exploded. I guess they were everywhere, which is kind of, well, not every, well, I had heard of them, and it wasn't my genre at the time. So they played at the Junos. They were on Good Morning America. This is the Calgary connection. They were on a show called Campbell Scramble, which is a show made by Calgary CTV sportscaster Glenn Campbell.
Okay.
They were on Sally Jesse Raphael. They were on Maury. They played in the Major League Baseball at the All-Star Game. They sang All Canada. They, even after they disbanded, like on their solo projects, they played like the Olympics. And yeah, so they've still kind of been off and on together or solo stuff. One of the solo things was by Scott. They had some songs on Never Been Kissed, the soundtrack for that, a Katie Holmes movie, Teaching Mrs. Tingle. Sorry, they played this song on a TV show called Hang Time, where they played for the school on that show. Yeah, then they just seemed to do everything. Not any, you know, just there was so much that they did. I just kind of put it down a little bit. I don't think it was their biggest song, but there's also a 1979 song by Bram Tchaikovsky that's called this, but it's not related.
Okay.
It's not a cover. It's just.
No.
Yeah. So I looked up, I guess I'll Be There For You might be their biggest one. That's vaguely sounded familiar. It's not the Friends theme song. Yeah, I looked up some of their, and that seemed vaguely familiar. This song, I don't think I've never heard this song until this week.
I think I did, just listening to much music.
Yeah.
Growing up, so, and I remember it having a lot of airplay.
Do you remember the video?
I didn't remember the video, but I went back and rewatched it.
Yeah.
It's very iconically 90s.
I was just thinking this whole song, the video, simple. Like, they started playing their own instruments for this album.
Yeah, that's very apparent in the video.
Yes. They're just like, it seems so cheaply made. They're just like laying on beds and just in like not even nicely decorated rooms. I was very uncomfortable. One of the guys isn't wearing a shirt. And I guess like probably little girl swooned at the time.
Swooned.
Swooned. Do little girls swoon? I don't know.
I don't know. Do you swoon when you were a
little
girl?
I don't think I ever swooned in my life, but.
Oh, thanks for making me feel awesome about that then?
It was probably that I swooned so hard when I met you that I blacked out for a minute and forgot. Yeah. And I thought, when I first heard this song, I was like, oh, I hate this song. And then I listened. I've only listened to it like 4 times. I couldn't get more than that. There was something so simple about it, but I kept, they had other songs. I mean, the comparison is Hanson, right?
Like, obviously. Yeah.
And they had other songs that sounded a little more Hanson-like. It was missing something. I felt like there should have been like a guy rapping or this big like rock out or something in this song. It missed something. It was so simple and that was kind of nice, but it needed something like that in the middle of it. Or yeah, I could see like I'm thinking, come on, Barbie, let's go party guy, like that voice. Maybe that's just me, or maybe even some girl backup singers at some point. It was missing. It was just a little too simple, but I guess.
But it got the point across. It is what it is.
It's true. It's true. And I think maybe if I was a little younger, maybe I could have.
Maybe you need that little something to get you, to swoon you.
Maybe. I think they were just, I'm about 5 to 6 years older than them. So when they were out, they were little boys to me, right? And I just never paid attention. Not my thing. Not as catchy as Hanson, but Canadian.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. But why'd you pick this song?
They've come up in a couple episodes in the last 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like just seeing where, just to bring me back to it and just something different. So it's not something that I particularly go out and find,
mm-hmm.
but I guess I did on this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's part of this podcast is to reach out to different genres, different stuff. Maybe it's something that we listened to in the past but forgot about.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about this is why not look back at this song? Like, why not look at the Moffats? Why not look at other stuff that we just don't have to keep on doing the same genre every week. So that's sort of why I picked it.
I mean, you don't have to get defensive. I'm all for that. I'm just wondering why this one specifically. Just
nope.
It did make me go explore more of their stuff. Like I said, I first hated this song and then didn't like this song. And I listened a little more. And I guess I could see on a whole album, because they had some more that were a little more produced, that this would be a nice addition. Just kind of I mean, they're not like Backstreet Boys produced and like, you know, like that.
No.
But I could see it made me listen to more. And I think that might be part of what this is all about. It sounded like a milder version of really highly produced boy bands from the 90s. And that I kind of like that charm.
Okay,
too.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that.
I like that charm as well about this. Okay. And even this song, that's what kind of grew on me after a couple of listens. I probably won't think to listen to it again unless it comes up because I had been listening on Google.
Yeah.
But if it played on the radio, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I feel the same. And I think this is where Canadian music loses out. Like this like peak of success, like quick rise, quick fall almost.
You say that they were pretty big in Southeast Asia and still, I guess, pretty big.
Okay.
In Asia. Just throwing that out there, yeah.
I'm just thinking Canadian radio hits, just that. One-hit wonder. Well, they had 2 hits, so.
Yeah. There was another one that, I don't know. Only 3 came up on Wikipedia when I looked at it, and that's how I tell if it's a hit or not. How did it chart, though?
It charted on the Canadian Top Singles charts on number 19, the Canadian Adult Contemporary at number 4, and the Canadian Swooning Charts at number 1.
Yes.
There's no sales certifications for this, but the album did sell a platinum, so over 100,000 albums sold in Canada.
Hmm.
And the album reached Canadian album billboards of number 49.
Well, that's pretty good, though.
Yeah, so it did definitely do good in Canada. So
yeah, and who knows? Well, I mean, I'm not looking up how it did specifically in Southeast Asia. Who knows?
Bigger. Well, on the Malaysian albums charts, it reached number 3.
Oh, does it say that? I thought you were making up stuff because that sounds like you. to make that up.
No, I just made up the swooning charts.
Yeah. I think good for them. It just was never my genre. There's no nostalgia for it, which is a big part of some 90s things for me too. But I bet if I was a couple of years younger, this would have been more on my radar. Which you are a couple of years younger than me, so it would have been more on your radar.
Yeah, I again, it's not something that I listen to, but no. If it's there, it's there.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. But no, I appreciate this choice.
So do I. I when I was thinking about my choices listening to the song, I'm like, it's not the what I usually listen to, but I'm glad I picked it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm glad to have explored this.
So speaking of picking songs.
I'm going the whole opposite. This was kind of little known. I'm going well known, and I'm going way back, one of the first hits of the 90s. Can't touch this.
Ooh. Who's that by?
I forget. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, we're going for it. One of the big guns, I think, in the 90s.
Get on your parachute pants for next week. We're dropping in. All right.
I'm going to get brand new kicks and pants.
Ooh, nice. I can't wait to see them on next week's episode.